the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
It's the only time we're probably ever going to play that song on this show.
Next up, Trace McSorley.
It's time, anywhere you are and by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. This is so stupid. The kids love this, apparently, right?
This song was made like 2 years ago.
Oh my god, this is horrible. Welcome to the show. I only play that because Trace McSorley actually threw, a 70-yard touchdown pass in Wednesday afternoon football. Probably the longest touchdown pass on Wednesday afternoon that's been thrown in quite some time, or if ever. So Trace may have got himself a record there. I never know. In case you missed it, and judging by the time of day, you might have. The Steelers kept their record perfect with a 19-14 thriller over the Ravens.
That's any game in that rivalry, though.
That RG3, old ass RG3, started and didn't manage to finish. So in comes Trace McSorley, who. TikTok sensation, is that a good way to say it?
Yep.
So anyway, I'm pretty sure that's probably the last time we're going to see any Trace McSorley on the field, and certainly it'll be the last time on this show that we play that crap.
But if he starts again, that's going to be playing.
Well, I'm sure, but I guess we wanted to get it out of the way now. So on the show tonight, we'll of course preview the NFL weekend, the college ranks. We've had some spoiler alert, schedule changes over the past, and one of them involving a former Bison rival and a team that's going in to play them, which means I'm going to have to root for one of the teams that you hate this weekend against them. More on that later. We're going to talk a little NBA. There was some free agency moves of note and a trade and some guys that are going nowhere fast, but they're the defending champs. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll touch base briefly on the Bison men and women getting off to their season starts with a mixed amount of success as we go here. But we head towards the stretch drive, Grant, of the NFL season, I should say. And that, I don't know, this whole Wednesday night football vibe, and of course we have no Thursday night football tonight. So normally when we record a show, we're watching Thursday night football as we
Cowboys,
tape it.
Ravens, but
that would have been a disaster anyway. Yeah. But so we have the only thing we had tonight to watch was service academies. We had Air Force and Utah State are going at it right now, which
Ben playing Fortnite, whichever one comes first.
Whichever comes first. But in any case, that's the Thursday night football, so not a lot of options when it comes to that tonight. But we do have some interesting games coming up in the weekend, and not just in the college ranks, but in the pro ranks as well. So let's start as we usually do with the National Football League. Oh, sorry, a little weak there. But you know what? We're going to do that again. The National Football League. There we go. Technical issues. It happens when you're the host, executive producer, and sound effects guy. Sound engineer Ben is too busy with his banana running around in Fortnite.
B-A-N-A-S
bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S bananas. Okay. Anyway. Intriguing matches on the schedule this weekend, Grant, and we'll start in Atlanta, and if it sounds like we just played this game, we did a few weeks ago. Saints at 9-2 travel to the 4-7 Falcons. Saints are a 3-point favorite with an over-under of 45. Saints just won this game a couple weeks ago, 24-9. Circumstances a little bit different in that Taysom Hill is now the head man in charge for this game. Falcons, they're better, but Saints hold them to 9 at home. I'm not sure the outcome is going to be totally different here.
No, I think the Falcons will put maybe a couple more points, but I think the same. It won't be the same score, but it'll be the same kind of game where the Falcons can't get anything going. But it might be more like 17-9 or something because Taysom can't generate that much offense, and so rather than running himself, so Saints all the way.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints here too.
And what's that thing about taking Atlanta?
Did you think about taking Atlanta?
Initially, when I thought, well, because of what Taysom has done, and I'm like, their offense can't generate enough points, and maybe Atlanta can. My guys are playing New Orleans, and New Orleans has a pretty damn good defense right now. So.
New Orleans, again, I don't think they have to do anything overly special to win this game. I guess if I'm looking at the Saints, I think if they run the ball well, I don't think they're going to have any problems winning this game. I still think that on a good week, Atlanta can catch some teams napping.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the week, though. I don't think the Saints have a top 5 defense. One of the things that they do well, too, is get after the quarterback. And Matt Ryan, although he's got a propensity for large passing yardage, I think it's going to be tough for him to generate a ton of offense. Plus, the Falcons' defense, it's middle of the pack. It's not going to be anything to write home about. Their offense is certainly good, though, and maybe they have enough, but I just don't see it.
No, I don't.
We're gonna take the Saints here both, and I'm gonna take the under.
I will take the under
as far as that goes. I don't think they're gonna get to 45. I think it's gonna be more a 21-14 type. I think the Falcons will hang around
17-9, maybe
something like that. Could go either way on this one. Lions at 4-7 now without Matt Patricia, gone. They've had 10 days to stew over that beating they took from the Texans, but they go to the Bears, who are 5-6.
Bears.
You think the Bears are going to win this one?
You think the Lions are going to score?
Yeah, I do. I think the Lions are going to score. Green Bay didn't have a problem scoring the other night.
That's Green Bay. This is Detroit.
True.
This is the Lions we're talking about. I know the Bears struggle. But God, both these teams are bad in one way. The Bears are bad on offense, Lions are bad on defense. So I'll hedge my bets with the Bears.
I hate betting on the Bears.
But you're taking that over a Stafford team that's garbage. You just got their beat.
The game though where when you fire the coach and Daryl Bevel's gonna run the team now.
That means anything.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, so you got, an offensive, probably philosophical change, is not likely.
The only difference is just the offensive coordinator is the head coach. That's the only difference. He's not gonna add anything to it. And he's just the interim guy. He ain't gonna have a job full time. I trust the Bears with Khalil Mack more than I trust the Lions and Stafford.
Okay. So you don't think there's any chance that, forget even the win. I don't know. I think the Lions are about right on this.
Are the Lions competitive? Sure. They're not going to win, though. Will they cover? No. What's the Lions?
It is on the road. The Lions, they just don't do anything really extraordinarily well. That's the biggest problem I have with them is that their defense is damn near dead last in the NFL, and their offense isn't much better. If there's anything that the Bears can do very well, they do tend to play defense pretty decently.
Absolutely.
And that to me is the overriding factor in this game, is that the Bears can probably stop somebody when they need to.
Yep.
I'm definitely betting the under. I'm going to take the Bears. I think this is about the right. I mean, the Lions probably almost dead on here. I'll take the Bears minus the 3 and the under.
Yep, Bears under.
That's probably what I'm looking at here. So neither of us is real excited about it. I mean, again, if I had to pick only games for money that I only wanted to, this would not be one of them, because I wouldn't be surprised if either team won this game.
Yep.
And frankly, for Vikings fans, we're rooting for Detroit in this game.
Yep.
To win it. Definitely a game with more playoff implications than that. The Browns at 8-3 travel to the 8-3 Titans, and this will be a dende in this one. The Titans come in number 6 ranked offense in the league, and they're rolling.
You can stop at Browns, Titans. Titans win this game.
Just like that.
Just stop there. This is the Browns in a game they need to win. Game over, Titans.
Where are we on the Baker Mayfield cycle on this one?
I think we're in the respect me and I won by 2 points against the 1-10 Jaguars. Yeah, and now I'm at the spot where I'll play a good team to get my ass kicked. So, I'm taking the Titans.
You're absolutely right on the scale on that. Because
this is a game the Browns need to win, right? They're terrible in games they need to win. I know, but this is the Titans, one of the best round gainers in the game, and Derrick Henry. And Ryan Tannehill is just good enough to get you beat. And that's what the Titans are. I'm taking the Titans.
This game could be over in like 2 hours.
Touchdown, Titans!
It literally could be over. I mean, both these teams are going to want to run the ball.
And, so might be
and then they're going to run it some
it
more.
It might be a Service Academy game.
It could be a Service Academy level game. You know what I wonder in this one is how much does Tennessee need to throw the ball?
Not much.
And that's the intriguing part in this whole situation. These defenses are almost identical. They're 19th and 20th in the league, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Their offenses, though, the Titans are 6th and the Browns are 19th. For as good as the Browns' offense is supposed to be, it's only 19th in the league.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can win a big game like this, especially if Baker Mayfield does Baker Mayfield things like throw interceptions. If they turn the ball over, they're dead.
Yeah.
And a road game against the Titans, who are hot as any team in the league. Titans tend to go hot and cold, though, so I wonder, is this their...
They beat the Colts, they'll be on fire.
Yeah, I think they're playing really well. I think it's tough to pick against Tennessee. I don't particularly like the number.
I think they're third in the conference.
5.5's a lot to give here.
No, it's not.
You don't think so?
Titans.
Okay.
So Titans.
You think Titans 5.5?
Yep.
Well, you know what?
I don't trust the Browns.
I'm tempted to take Cleveland, but again, I got burned on Cleveland last time.
I don't trust
one of the reasons I'm two games back in our predictions.
Yeah, I don't trust Cleveland.
I don't trust Cleveland at all. So give me the Titans. Give me the over.
Because we are the Titans. We are the mighty, mighty Titans.
Yes. Titans by 5.5. I think they'll cover. They win this one. I think... maybe in a game that's more competitive than you might think. A game that isn't going to be competitive, I think, is the Bengals 2-8-1 travel to the 7-4 Dolphins.
Oh boy! Okay. With Ryan Finley,
I love the Bengals.
Whoever the quarterback is.
But we all know that they're horrible. Their offense is 26th in the league.
To be generous.
Yeah, and that's with Joe Burrow in the lineup. That ranking is going to get worse. Bengals defense actually hasn't been horrible this year.
I like the Dolphins in whichever quarterback starts the game.
Yeah, and the Dolphins come into this game with the second-ranked defense in the league, and they also are playing a team that has no ability to generate offense whatsoever. The Dolphins aren't going to knock you out of the park with their offensive performance.
You know what, their defense is good enough.
Yeah, but everything about this game says
Dolphins.
They'll do enough to win. I wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles, we'll get to them later. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals covered, but I wouldn't bet it. I'm going to take the Dolphins minus 11.5.
Yeah, as will I.
Okay, all right. So we agree on that one. And I'm sure we need to spend much time on
the Jets.
Raiders. the Jets continue the quest for 16.
I mean, the Giants said, hey, finish the job. You got to go with 16. Finish the job. So.
Raiders may be without Josh Jacobs. Not that it's going to matter a whole hell of a lot, because I think they're just far superior. But
wait, what?
Wait, checking your fantasy team?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're all worried about that.
No. He can't be out.
Raiders are definitely in the upper half of the league in offense. And they've certainly shown the ability to run the ball effectively with Jacobs in the lineup.
Okay, he's on the bench. All right.
The Jets are terrible. Adam Gase admitting this week that he has not done a good job developing Sam Darnold. No shit. it just gets worse by the day.
No shit.
I mean, really. So, the last thing I think that I expect here is a Jets rally. 8.5 seems like a pretty low number considering how pathetic the Jets are. Give me the Raiders.
I'm picking the Raiders. No
minus
shit.
8.5 on the road. No shit. That's definitely what it's going to be there. Again, slightly more competitive than you might think. Colts 7-4 travel to the 4-7 Texans. I know the Texans look great on Thanksgiving against the Lions, everybody looks good on Thanksgiving against the Lions.
I think they'll get over that loss against the Titans.
Bad loss for the Colts, really. They looked completely out of sync. I think this is where they get it back. Only a 3.5-point line, which to me is a little more indicative of people not being impressed with the Colts, as opposed to thinking the Texans are that much better.
Yeah, but also the Texans lost Will Fuller to suspension, so.
And he's going to be out for, what, 6 games, which
that's
is basically
the rest of this
season
and the first game next season. And by the way, this is his contract year, so.
Yeah, bad move.
This is a bad time.
That's how you wind up starting at Jacksonville, my friend. we'll talk Jaguars later, but Colts 3.5, I think this is an easy number to take. I'll take the Colts. I'll take the over at 51. I just don't see a lot of hope here for the for the Texans to, you know, the line is small, but I think the Colts are by far the better team in this game. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would too.
You know, the Colts have my other favorite stat, which I get a big O about. Colts are in the top 10 in both offense and defense. Uh-huh. You know, that's a big stat for me when I see teams that can balance on both sides of the ball. They can stop and they can score. And the Colts are one of the few teams in the league
that
can make that
claim. The teams like Kansas City or Seattle, they're not in the top 10 in either one of those categories.
Yes, they are. Kansas City's number 2 in offense and number 6 in defense.
Really?
Yep.
Never mind
Pittsburgh's then. Number 7 in total offense and number 1 in defense. So, I mean...
Never mind then.
Yeah,
okay,
I think the Saints, as I mentioned before, they're number 5 in both categories. When I look at teams, and again, as much as it might seem odd...
this is either Kansas City's top 10 in both.
Yeah.
I get offense with defense?
Right. Well, and if you think about it, you look at some of the teams that they've played, it actually isn't that difficult to fathom why they're that good on defense. You know, it's not like they're giving up 50 a game either.
No.
Right?
I mean, but they're giving up 31 points to the Raiders, who got embarrassed by Atlanta, so I don't know... How really to take that?
Well, I guess if you look. I mean, they played the Jets.
It's a division game. I get it, but 31 points.
Well, just it's not so much points though. If you have to look at total, just defense in general. I mean, they had a 3-game stretch there where they played the Bills, Broncos, and Jets, and barely gave up any yard. They gave up 185 yards total to Denver. I mean, honestly, and they only gave up 203 to the Texans. I mean, the worst game they've had all year. Honestly, believe it or not, isn't even the game they lost. The worst defense they had of the year was just this last week against Tampa Bay. And their second worst was against the Jets. And, of course, let's keep in mind that a lot of that's garbage time defense. Yeah. But they've played pretty well in terms of their defensive ability here. So I don't think that's a totally off the board thing.
No.
Anyway, moving on. We got to go to the... we're both taking the Raiders over, by the way, on that one, too.
Hit that horn! Hit that horn! Gotta get a new horn!
Gotta get a winning horn.
Rams, 2.5-point favorites against the Cardinals, and
so,
this is a big game.
As a Vikings fan, you want the Cardinals to lose this game. Because then they're almost in the tie for the 7th spot. But this is tough for me because I like the Rams a lot, but they are really sloppy at times. Like, last week they played like garbage. Total turnovers against San Francisco by both teams? I don't know how to take which team would win this game. And the Cardinals had a sleepwalk in New England. So I don't know how to take this. And I looked at the Cardinals and I'm like, well, you're good, but I don't know if I trust. I don't trust either of these teams. Let it get down to who has the better defense. Rams. I like the Rams.
Rams have the better defense. They are on the road.
That doesn't matter.
And
no fans, doesn't matter.
Cardinals are in kind of a prove it. They need to prove it right
They're in a prove it and a must win mode because the Vikes are on their heels.
Yeah, so. And I wonder, sometimes when you back a team like this into a corner, they can do some spectacular
I think they're one draft away, like the Raiders are being really good. They're one draft away. I think the Rams are a better team right now.
It's a lot to hit your wagon on.
Back into a corner or a team that's at least still somewhat afloat? Right?
I don't know what to make of them. And I think if the line was 3, I would have taken them. But 2.5 is just enough. It's just underneath where I think the Rams, who again, you know, top 10 offense, top 10 defense.
But Aaron Donald's.
Now, the only problem with this now is that the Rams offense has really struggled.
Here's the thing with the Cardinals. They have Hopkins, right? Well, Rams is on Hopkins, and you can hear his cancel out DeAndre Hopkins because DeAndre Rams is, in my opinion, the best shutdown corner in this league. So he's either neutralized or he's going to throw. I mean, they know they have other weapons, but they're not DeAndre Hopkins.
The Rams offense, which was once in the top 10, has slipped dramatically. They're down to the 20th ranked offense in the league now. Cardinals have the 8th ranked offense in the league. And on defense, they are ranked, decent at 13. Combination of the two tells me that the Cardinals might be the better all-around team. But I think the Rams, like you said, with Ramsey and that defense, boy.
I trust them more.
Honestly, it's a coin flip for me. Something about Arizona not being able to move the ball on New England just makes me think they're not going to generate enough points. Yeah. So I'm going to take the Rams minus the 2.5. I really struggled with this game because I thought this might be one where I could maybe make a pick against you on this. I just don't trust
the Rams.
I trust
the Rams. I trust the Rams.
Giants at 4-7 go on the road to the Seahawks.
Stop there. Seattle.
Seattle is a 10-point favorite. Against the NFC East.
This is a battle of two division leaders. I mean, it should be a pretty good game, right?
Seriously. There's every chance we could see this game again in this few weeks, the way things are going.
Nope.
Which is hard to believe.
It's hard to fathom, but yeah, that's what I'm taking Seattle. I think that they're so much better than the Colt McCoy-led Giants.
By the way, interesting side note to this game. Josh Gordon has been reinstated.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Honestly?
That doesn't matter.
How many times
is he reinstated? I mean, it's been, what, 4 or 5 times now he's on?
Oh, it's got to be number 5. But I mean, really?
Number 5. It's just like, how many times before he gets a lifetime ban? Like, he's cleaned up my life, get suspended again. Like, at some point, Goodell's like, you've done this too many times, I'm suspending you indefinitely.
How many chances do you get? I mean, I believe in second chances as much as the next guy. But honestly, 5? What the hell is going on out here? Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's just weird. Anyway.
Seahawks. Whatever.
Seahawks minus the 10.
Yep.
And the over.
Move on.
Against the Giants.
Yep,
I don't think there's much doubt about that one. Another game we probably won't spend a lot of time on. Packers at 8-3 host the 3-7-1 Eagles. The Eagles.
How easy of a schedule did the Packers get?
What's the joke about the dumpster fire wrapped in a tire?
It's a hot mess inside dumpster fire inside a train wreck.
Yeah, that's what the Eagles are right now.
Just Carson.
God love you, Carson, but you're in over your head against a team that honestly.
And he might put up some yards. I mean,
this team's an offensive machine.
This is the Packers we're talking about. But it's just like...
Yeah, Pack is an 8.5-point favorite with a 47.5. I'm going over, and yeah. Packers minus 8.5.
Is this me, or are the Packers a really easy schedule down the stretch? I mean, it's serious. It's like every year. It's like they get the NFC least down the stretch.
Kind of turned that way. That loss at Tampa Bay, though, rings in my memory.
If somebody... They're a pretty finesse team. Rodgers makes them look finesse.
Yep. And don't forget what the Vikings did so well is they just ran it down their throat.
They pounded their ass.
And the Eagles are certainly not a team that is equipped to do that in any way, shape, or form. That's why I think they're going to
win. But that's where teams are going to get them. Tampa got them. Seattle can get them with it if Chris Carson's on the right track.
Well, honestly, Seattle can outscore them.
Yeah,
and they're one of the few teams in the league that can do that.
The Vikes outscored him by playing better defense. I mean, if you play really well,
and what's underrated in that Viking win over Green Bay
is that they stopped them.
Is that the Vikings defense really played a major?
The difference in the game is the Vikings scored the first 4 possessions.
Yep, and they forced
split 4 possessions.
Forced the turnover, at the end with our boy DJ.
And the turnover on downs and
right.
the end zone.
Yep, and so there's a lot to be said for how well the Vikings played on defense, as much as Dalvin Cook. It was a freight train on offense. I don't think the Eagles have the requisite defense to hang in this game as long.
In the offensive line, I mean, Kenny Clark's going to get in there big time. And Zadarius Smith, I mean, they're going to get all
of they're going to carve him up like a Thanksgiving turkey leftover, and it's going to be turkey.
Yeah.
So that went well. Packers to cover and over? Okay.
Painfully, yes.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I think it's going to go, too. Couple of interesting games now. Well, first one is, the second one isn't. Let's get the uninteresting one out of the way first. Chiefs minus 14 at hosting Denver on what might be the worst Sunday night football matchup we've had all year.
Why is this game not been flexed yet? Because it's Kansas City.
It's probably
because
the
because it's Kansas City.
Because it's Kansas City.
Yeah. Kansas City, move on.
The Denver Broncos presumably will have some live body starting at quarterback.
Something like that.
I don't know what the quarantine or COVID rule. I mean, that was brutal last week. And honestly, even if it's Drew Lock getting back to quarterback, it isn't going to matter.
Yep.
They have no chance to outscore the Chiefs in any way, shape, or form. It's a division game, so it might be close, but I'm taking the Chiefs minus the 14 in the over.
As will I.
I'm not sure that the Broncos will get to 14, but I'm still going to take the over anyway.
Yeah,
51
over.
The other interesting game, Patriots 5-6 at the 3-8 Chargers, even line. Straight up pick 'em. Patriots, Chiefs.
Patriots,
the Chokers.
Patriots, Chargers.
The road. The Chargers have the game at home. Man, I don't know what to do on this game.
This is Belichick, and Belichick's going to confuse him. I think Belichick, with the depleted defense he has, he still beat Kyler and the Cardinals. And he took away DeAndre Hopkins. Can he do that? They do that to whoever the Chargers' best weapon is, and I don't know which receiver is it. Keenan Allen, I'm assuming, be their best weapon. Gilmore's going to be on Allen, so he's got to find somebody else. Give the Patriots.
You take the Patriots.
Then. I will. Right. You got to pick against the Patriots.
Well, it's tough for me to pick a team that chokes. Like
you want to pick against your Patriots. I mean, you were a Patriot fan.
I do like what they do, but
you love your Patriots.
I have a tough time with this one because the Chargers just choke.
And after the clock management is
God, it's brutal. But I hate the Patriot offense. I mean, I really hate it. I really hate it.
That's why I cut Cam Newton in my fantasy league finally.
But I just
Kirk Cousins on the way.
But the Chargers just they just choke so bad, and then even get where. If I was getting points to take the Chargers, I'd probably take them. But I'm not getting any benefit from that or home field advantage. Give me the Patriots even up.
I
hate this pick, but make it anyway. Before we get to the Vikings, we'll tackle the. We've got Monday night doubleheader action this week. Because of all the COVID movement, we've got the rescheduled Washington Steelers game.
Steelers.
Yeah, Steelers are 8-point favorites, even off a. I hesitate to even call it a short week, but it's a much shorter week.
Yeah.
Not a lot of time for turnaround here, Grant. Does that influence you in any way?
No, because I think the way the Steelers came off that game, a little pissed. I think that Roethlisberger was pissed after the game. He didn't think they played well. Tomlin said they sucked in the red zone. I think that they're just like, you know what?
Is it crazy I'm thinking about Washington plus 8 here?
No, but I think the Steelers have such a workmanlike attitude that they think they suck and they're going to improve it and they're going to come in and just try to dominate Washington to avenge that.
I forget, is Washington in first place now or is it the Giants? The Giants are,
Giants.
Right? Because they swept them?
Giants.
Okay.
But because the way that the Steelers have such a workmanlike attitude that they're just going to try to just maul them.
Now,
I'm taking Pittsburgh, on a short week.
Now, let's talk Steelers for a minute, because there's this discussion out there that they're the worst 11-0 team in the history of the NFL.
Correct.
And
correct.
Man.
Who have they beaten? Outside of Tennessee, who have they beaten?
I'm glad you asked, because let's take a look at who they have beaten.
Browns don't count, because they
no, they do count. Everybody counts.
They dominate the Browns.
Okay. So. If you look at their schedule, now, obviously, they get basically a bye because they play every team in the NFC East. Okay, we get that part. So, they've won. They've beaten New York.
No.
Denver.
No.
Houston.
No.
Philadelphia.
No.
Cleveland.
No.
Tennessee.
Yes.
Ravens.
Yes.
Cowboys.
No.
Bengals.
They beat
Jags.
Look at that. Look at the Jags in there. I mean, this is a horrible schedule. The Dallas, they struggle with the Cowboys. I can't take one half those wins seriously.
You know what's interesting about the schedule, too, though, is if you look at the wins, you got 10, 5, 7, 9, 31, which is against Cleveland, mind you, 3, 4, 5, 26, that's Cincinnati.
Are you counting defensive ratings here?
24, no, this is the score.
Oh.
24, and this is margin of victory.
Oh,
5. Okay. They beat the Ravens by 5 and by 4. Okay.
That's a division game. I get
right.
It.
I get that. Cincinnati, they pummeled 36-10. That's again, division opponent. Okay,
I get Browns that. Divisional opponent.
Browns divisional opponent. They probably the best win they've had all year.
Titans are the best win.
Titans came back and made that a game after Pittsburgh had it in the bag in the first half. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're coming off a short week where they literally finished the game at 6 o'clock Wednesday night, and now they're going to turn around and play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're going to play 5 days later. Now the advantage here that they have is they're going to still be at home.
Mm-hmm. If they had to go on the road, I might take Washington, because then you got to get on a plane too, and then you got to go back, and it's just like I may take them, but Steelers, I think. This is where their schedule shakes out. Their toughest games are at the end. I mean, mm-hmm. they get Buffalo, excuse mm-hmm. me. They get Buffalo, the Browns, and the Colts. That's their three toughest games left. And that Buffalo game is one hell of a game on Sunday night.
Right. Let's keep in mind, too, that Bud Dupree, their outstanding pass rusher, torn ACL. He is now out for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that certainly is a factor. So their pass rush won't be as good against... Frankly, a quarterback that, you know, let's be honest, isn't exactly the most mobile dude in the world, in Alex Smith, as far as that's concerned. So I get that. Let's also remember that the Redskins, the Washington defense is really not that bad. If you look at it,
they were playing the Cowboys.
Well, but
they were playing the Cowboys.
They give up the second fewest pass yards in the NFL a week.
They're playing the Cowboys.
Roethlisberger slinging it all over the field, and it hasn't seemed to matter. I don't know. I'm leaning on this one, Redskins, and
Red Tails.
I'm leaning Washington. +8's a big number for this team. I don't know.
You're betting against a football team. That, I wouldn't, but
I'd be betting with the football. But so I'm getting 8 points.
It's your ass, not mine. No risk of losing by 3?
Oh, this is a tempting one to take.
Now, I feel more confident picking for Buffalo that later than picking in Washington right now.
Okay. Well,
I feel more confident taking Buffalo later in the season than I would taking Washington in this kind of game.
I don't know.
And the Steelers have been really good at home. I wouldn't pick against
Big Ben. You just told me home doesn't matter.
Steelers always matters.
They just beat a team with your boy. They just beat them by 5 at home and struggled to do that.
But they have such a workmanlike attitude that they were pissed after that game. And
Riverboat Ron's playing with nothing to lose.
They're not complacent. The Steelers aren't complacent. They're like, we're good enough where we are. We'll have another. They want to keep going. Pittsburgh looks too fired up to lose to Washington.
You know what I'm thinking is at some point here I'm going to have to make a move to go up to go multiple games, and I'm going to have to bet like 3 games against the spread just to beat you, because you'll be conservative and take a knee at some point.
I'm not conservative. So. I'm picking teams that are going to win games. I'd pick against you if I thought that'd be right.
Picking point spreads though is a little bit tougher on this one. You know what? Riverboat Ron says go for it. I'm taking the Skins. I'm going to take Washington +8.
Up 3, America. Up by 3.
I'm going to take Washington.
I'm up by 3.
And I'm going to take them.
Up by 3.
+8. I may change that before the end of the show, but we'll see.
Up by 3.
Bills 49ers. Bills are 8-3 going to the 5-6 Niners. An even line on this one, believe it or not. So what do you think about this one? We got an interesting matchup here between these two teams with an even odd. Setup.
What's the game? Wasn't paying attention.
Honestly,
I was looking down for a second. What was it?
Wow. Apparently, the second isn't important enough to even pick the game. Listen while I'm picking games. Buffalo, Buffalo at San Francisco.
Buffalo.
Even line.
Buffalo.
Okay. All right.
Buffalo.
Why Buffalo so easy?
Mainly because Garoppolo and Kittle aren't back yet, and I don't trust San Francisco. I mean. A lot of turnover against the Rams. That's a lot of turnover. And Buffalo has been really good. Buffalo.
Okay.
Buffalo.
I
just like Buffalo.
I don't see any really good reasons in there. But
no,
okay.
I just like Buffalo more than San Francisco right now.
You do?
I don't have a lot of good reasoning for it, because I think they're both kind of on the same kind of path. But Buffalo, I like their defense more than San Francisco. And San Francisco's just kind of eh.
Kind of eh?
They're just kind of slogging the way through the season after they lost Garoppolo and Kittle. I just think they're just kind of eh.
They are slogging. I don't think there's any question about that. But my biggest issue with the Niners is I don't know how are they going to score.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know either team.
Priceline can save you up to 60%.
Priceline can save you.
Apparently it can.
But do you see what I'm getting at? The Niners, to me, Ayuk is playing great.
Yeah. Well, they don't have other weapons to go to. I mean, it's him or Deebo Samuel. I mean, they don't have a lot.
Speaking of Deebo Samuel, he had a hell of a game last week. So, I thought so anyway. I was really impressed. I never thought of him as a really true big offensive threat.
Yeah.
But he seems to be quite, I don't know. He's a much tougher player than I envisioned. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that, but I think Stephon Diggs is better.
Of course you do.
No, I'm never gonna get over him getting traded, but then Justin Jefferson helps my pain a little bit more with that. So
your pain.
Yeah. I mean, think of it this way, Jefferson is gonna have over 1,000 yards this rookie season. Rookie season over 1,000 yards decided to be. He might finish top 10 in receiving as a rookie. He's not Moss good, but he's on his way. And Stephon Diggs is better than any Niners receiver they have. And Allen's a better receiver than Nick Beep and Mullins of all people. So,
yeah, that's pretty bad.
So I'll take Josh Allen with an arm he started to discover versus Dick Mullins. He's kind of Bills.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Bills.
Stop talking about it. Bills.
I'm gonna take the Bills. Too. I struggle
if,
with
if the Niners were fully stocked, I'd take San Francisco, but they're not healthy, and almost like their entire defensive line's out. So
Okay, no, I can't. I just can't see them. I know that the potential is there for them to make a playoff run. I just don't see it happening. I don't like it. So I'm going to take them. I'm going to switch. I'm going back to Steelers. I'm going to take the Steelers.
Oh, you pathetic coward.
No, you've already set the precedent for that.
You pathetic coward.
So I'm using my...
I don't care. You go right ahead.
I'm playing the pathetic coward card. I'm going back. I
wouldn't trust. I assume I would have done the same
thing. You watched it. You know what's going to happen now, right? Washington is going to lose by a field goal.
As long as Pittsburgh wins, I don't really care. I think Buffalo's where they're going to get beat. But whatever.
We'll see how it goes. And lastly, Vikings -10 versus the Jaguars.
Why does Nick a game they would lose? It's just like...
This is the classic Viking, it's going to be a tough game. Like,
they're picking you up because they're almost in the playoff. They're in the playoff push, and all of a sudden... Really? That's a big line, too.
Who's going to stop, honestly, for Jacksonville? Who's going to stop Dalvin Cook? Nobody.
If this was 2017 Jags, I'd say the Jags would win, but this is four years later.
The Jaguars also have, Glenn Allen, love you, man, at quarterback. The only credible threat they have is James Robinson.
Here's my problem. They're an RPO-based team. They are. And
slant, baby.
When was the last time we played an RPO-based offense? Oh, right, that was the Eagles in 2017. They whipped our ass with it. So, I 38 is a good... It's the Nick Foles offense. And DJ Chark is good. LaVisca Chenault's been pretty good. But James Robinson has been spectacular. But the Browns defense, I'm taking with a grain of salt because the Browns are not a great defense. I just aren't.
Agreed.
But Jacksonville is more pathetic on defense than the Browns are.
I think honestly the
Vikes might go right up and down the football field.
Vikes have moved up to 12th in offense after they were near the bottom of the league earlier this year. Jacksonville is 28th.
In
total offense. Total defense. The Jaguars are 30th. The Vikes not much better at 27th.
But at the same time, I think the Jags are rebuilding. The Vikes are young and inexperienced.
As long as the Vikes don't commit those, backbreaking turnovers or it depends on. It's going to be special teams screw up of the week. that they do. But I think in the end, we're all going to be hearing this at the end of the day. Give me the Vikes -10 in this one.
And I think also the officiating crew doing this game apparently it throws a lot of flags. They throw more flags.
Been doing some real bang up research there, haven't you?
For I just listening to a lot of stuff while I was working today.
Good. Online school is working allows you to research more of your NFL officiating. No, you're like some. There's a guy I used to work with back in the 90s who he would like, if you told him what referees were coming into a WCHA hockey series, he'd tell you, like, oh, those guys call a bunch of bullshit penalties. And he knew it all. And they're like, the message board would be like 10 names deep.
Yeah, but this guy's more a Pac-12 referee. So, he's not a head referee for
what's his name again? That's
his name is Land. It's Land something.
His first name.
Yeah, first name is Land. I can't think of his last name right now. I told you earlier, but I can't remember now. But
that's all right.
But man, Beth Mullen's on the call, so.
Yeah, Beth Mullen's on the call for a woman calling a football game. She's done it before. Now she'll do it for CBS this weekend.
She only did a Bison game once upon a time. Don't try to do a woman because you can't. So, because you're a man.
Moving on. College ranks. Not a lot of risk here for the top four this week. By the way, CFP playoff rankings are still the same.
But BYU and Coastal Carolina get together. Well,
spoil my rundown.
I'm good.
Alabama, 29.5 points over the
defending national champion.
The Fighting Jabril Coxes and Bo Pelinis.
Are you kidding me?
30-point underdogs at LSU.
That's the biggest line for defending national champion. Wow. I mean, that's just
incredible. Not to be outdone, number two Notre Dame is 34-point favorite over Syracuse. All the journalists love two schools, Syracuse and Northwestern. They all get big boners over because they all went there. So everybody's praying Syracuse can put up a fight.
Didn't Dan Patrick go to Dayton?
He was one of the first four to go there. Anyway, sorry.
What drill is a program to Dayton?
Seriously. Clemson minus 22 over Virginia Tech.
That's ridiculous.
Again, Ohio State, 24-point favorite over Michigan State.
If they actually play the game.
A&M only 6.5 over Auburn, which should be interesting.
That doesn't surprise me.
These are all assuming the Rona doesn't get anybody.
I don't trust A&M.
Florida, 17.5 over Tennessee.
Tennessee's a little problem in the past for that.
Tennessee is no. You obviously haven't watched enough Tennessee football. They're going
to
be.
Wilson to Manning and T. Martin. Peerless Price.
That was only 21 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Peerless Price. I had him on my fantasy roster. He was a stud for like 6 weeks in a row. It was great. Anyway, the two games actually matching top 25 opponents have lost a little luster. One of them was Indiana at Wisconsin.
That's
no longer good with Michael Penix Jr. being done for the year. God bless Indiana. Oh my God! Wait. Yes. There we go. Anyway, good stuff by the by Indiana this year, but it's again, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's going to be pissed.
That's I could see that.
And I think they're going to and they're 14-point favorites. Without Penix, I'm not sure Indiana. Indiana might cover, but I don't. They're not going to win this game.
I don't know who the backup is, but I don't think he's as good as Penix.
Probably not. It's that one. They put him in goal line situation. They can't think of his name right.
Goal line.
But the game day game of the week number now since Coastal Carolina number 18 and Liberty has the Rona they have the Rona, so they are had to pull out of this game. In comes BYU, desperately looking for any excuse to play a ranked opponent, who doesn't play again until like December 12th against South Dakota State, San Diego State.
Yeah.
So we got number 13 BYU, a 10-point favorite against Coastal, and I'll be interested to watch Coastal because people around here like Mike McFeely get a big stiffy about watching Coastal Carolina, a team that's never won anything meaningful of any kind.
Unless they were in any sort of playoff, they got beat by the Bison. So I don't. Whichever team wins, I won't be happy because they're both fraudulent regardless of which one wins, so I really don't care.
Let's visit this debate as long as we got a few minutes because we may as well get it started because it started up in the media again that the Bison should go FBS.
No.
And
no.
They point and say, Coastal Carolina, App State, Georgia Southern have all been
Old Dominion. They're all
They've all gone to major bowl games.
They've gone to bowl games, not major.
Well, I'm just
They've gone to the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl. I mean,
they've gone to the Tire World Bowl,
or the Heart of Dallas Bowl,
the Zaxby's Bowl,
the Hawaii Bowl, the Gasparilla Bowl, the Bad Boy Moore's Gasparilla Bowl.
I heard they're gonna play like one of the bowl games. It's like the it's the New Mexico Bowl, but they're gonna play it in Frisco. Don't ask.
The DXL Frisco Bowl.
Whatever, I don't know.
I mean, like you name a state, there's probably a bowl game.
But again, let's get to the heart of it. The Bison, I don't know. I see why more and more people are coming to that side of the bandwagon. Well, here's why. They look at what FCS is. And FCS right now, if it wasn't already a little bit suspect, it sure is now with the pandemic, because teams aren't playing games. And there will probably be a lot of FCS teams that don't play at all this spring.
Doesn't bother me.
And in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Go down your list right now of teams that you think could realistically win the FCS title in this era.
That excludes NDSU?
No, that included. How many teams, NDSU included, how many teams do you realistically think in the FCS playoff field right now, how many teams, if the number is more than 8, you're insane? But I think
if the number is more than 4, you're insane.
It's 2.
Jax, JMU.
No, NDSU and JMU on their best year, South Dakota State.
Maybe, but Tarrant Christian's long gone, so I don't know.
On their, who else is even remotely qualified?
Now, then it gets hard because
I can accept South Dakota State.
But. I'm not going to say Northern Iowa because,
no.
For one, everybody loves Northern Iowa, right? Yeah, everybody loves Skeletor in Northern Iowa because, for one, they're always picked like 4th in the preseason poll because people have a big for Mark Farley and, right. And people love how great he is.
Seriously.
Yet they start the season 1-4 and then they win like the last 6 games. They upset South Dakota State and all of a sudden they're right back in the playoffs.
And don't tell me a Big Sky school is
No. Like people thought Montana State was going to come in here and give us a game.
Look,
they got their ass kicked.
All you have to do, and I know this is a long way. It feels like, you know, normally at this time of year we'd be talking about.
Here's my problem with moving the FBS as well.
Can I just finish the Big Sky point though?
Yeah.
All you have to do to assess the playoff readiness of the Big Sky is go back to
Eastern Washington. It's Judges in Washington.
No. Just go back a year ago, almost to a week ago.
Everybody was a playoff team.
No, again, still not at the point.
Sorry.
Who'd the Bison beat in the semis last year?
Montana State.
How bad?
42-14. Which I predicted on this show,
right,
by
you
the
did.
Way.
Who played in the other semifinal?
Weber State.
How bad did they get their 30-14. Ass kicked? They were horrible. They were lucky to get 14
I thought
points.
Weber had a shot because of the running game. Jim, you completely wiped out the running game. John Daca was all over him.
Who else? Kennesaw? No.
No. People love Kennesaw.
Nichols? No.
At times they were good, but they couldn't put a consistent
not a sustainable playoff
team.
Illinois State, again, it's almost criminal how bad Brock Spak managed that situation because he had who he's going to have on his roster. So you and I, not Northern Iowa, you and I, the two of us, watched probably the NFL offensive rookie of the year potentially. Okay,
Jefferson, but
the best rookie running back in the league this year.
Correct.
Almost single-handedly take Illinois State to a playoff win.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 9-3.
Yeah, but he's my problem. Their offense finally caught up to him because, one, no one remembers this, but their top two receivers were out for most of that season.
And Brady Davis was out for that game. Quarterback in the Bison defense. Ence said it after the game. We didn't need to take any risks
because
they weren't moving the football.
Because on that last drive, they had to pass, and they were screwed the minute they had to pass. I saw them drop back to pass. I'm like, this game's over. We won because they couldn't throw forward pass.
And again, it goes back to the depth problem that FCS.
Can I say something else?
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
Before NDSU was a thing, was the FCS really a big thing? It was on a Friday night in Frisco on ESPN2. Nobody cared. And now the game is on a prime window
ABC.
On ABC. If the Bison weren't in the FCS, they'd still be sitting down there. You can thank the Bison for this massive TV rating, this massive rating blow up because of the Bison. Because they want to see what the Bison can do. And they've beaten teams in the past. They're like, damn, these guys can be really good.
And now they have a track record of producing recognizable professionals.
Exactly. Like Trey now, Stick, everybody else that's come through that school. Phil Hansen even back in the D2 days. But if they leave, they're back to where they were. I don't think the FCS wants them to leave. Is it bad for the rest of the schools in the FCS? Sure it is. But if you're us, you want to stay there. I want us to keep competing for championships and not play in some subpar bowl game. That takes a little fun out of it, right?
I've always said that the eventual end of NDSU's era in the FCS will be once it becomes too much of an attractive nature to move up because there is a recognizable chance to win a championship at the next level.
And what
will happen eventually here is that big boy football is the Power Five, if you will.
Yeah.
Eventually, again, and I'm convinced this will happen, and it may seem like a way out take, but not totally when I get to the next part here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Knight Commission, which is one of the consulting groups. The Knight Commission.
Never heard of it.
If you've never heard of the Knight Commission, what the Knight Commission is a body that has been retained by the NCAA to ask and evaluate intercollegiate athletics.
Somebody just kick them out of the FCS and get up there?
Well, it's an influential panel of experts the NCAA has offered to evaluate. And what they say is that they should move the FBS basically outside to its own governance structure, move the FBS and have it all done by the college football playoff folks, the NCFA, whatever it's called, whatever they call.
All right.
And they would run the FBS as we know it now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's where we're headed. And expert panel like that, basically, and that's what I've been saying, and I've said this to you before for years, is that eventually those top groups would basically splinter off and form their own. So your Big 12, Pac-12,
Big 10,
SEC, and ACC would all move to their own division. And the NCAA can run everything else. So your top of your group of five, your Mountain West,
Sun Belt,
whatever.
In your independence, like BYU.
You're just going to bring in the Valley, and you're going to bring in the Colonial, and they're all going to be at the same level.
I don't like that.
I think that's where you're headed.
Yeah, but like, is William & Mary still going to compete for anything? No.
I think that's what it's going to lead to, Grant, is that I think it's going to lead to the end of some of those FCS programs as we know it. And it's probably a good thing.
Like Richmond, William & Mary.
Well, I don't know about
Indiana State. I think they're screwed.
I'm thinking more of the small. Look at your Northeastern, your Patriot, your
Colgate.
There's going to be a realignment of divisions where the new Division II basically would become the bottom of what FCS is now.
So Indiana State.
No, I don't think so.
Indiana State's in the
bottom. No, but look at the conferences like the Northeast, the Patriot, the Pioneer. They don't belong at the FCS level. Their best teams are never going to sniff playoff success.
Perfect example is Colgate. They went unbeaten, only lost was to Army. So I guess not unbeaten, but then they went to the dome in the quarters and got their doors blown.
Yeah, they got the absolute.
And in the number one ranked defense, it was 35-0. So I mean, so it's
the problem is they're going to hang their hat on the one year they went, of course, and beat JMU.
True.
So I mean, the same.
But that wasn't the same JMU team, though.
Maybe not.
It wasn't.
Maybe not.
They were 8-3 that year.
Maybe not, but. To me, that's where this is headed. You're going to cleave off the Power Five. They're going to be their own thing. What we know now as Division I football will stay, but the remainder of that list, cut it off like the Valley, the Colonial, the Southland, the stronger leagues.
SoCon,
maybe
they're like the ACC.
But
like,
I could see this going into some sort of, again, a divisional or conference consolidation where the Valley team, they bring in some of the OVC teams.
Like Austin Peay or Jacksonville State?
Just like something like that. Or you have almost like a Southern Conference consolidation. I don't know how it's going to work. But I'm telling you, that's where we're headed. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm going to see it anytime in the next 10 years.
No.
But I think what is happening right now, pandemic-wise, influence-wise of costs, revenues, ability to operate at a D1 scholarship level, I think a lot of these teams don't want to play this year. I think a lot of them would just say, screw it, I don't want to play an FCS season, we're going to lose money. And you know what? They're 100% right. There's no reason this year, for example, to me, that Western Illinois should field a football team. They have zero chance of winning anything meaningful.
Yeah.
Indiana State?
No.
Just about the same.
But the only way I would move to the FBS is if the Big Ten or the Big 12 said, we want you to come to our conference. And that's the only way I would move, and they would never do that. Because it's the reason why people have stopped scheduling Bison, because they know they're going to lose. I mean, Oregon had the balls to schedule us, and they were going to – the way they play against Oregon State, we're not beating NDSU with that.
Don't get me wrong. I would – the best fit for the Bison is to be in the Big Ten be in the Big 12 as a secondary option.
Because if you realistically look at the Big Ten, they could be in the Big Ten title game. I mean, realistically. The best team they can play is Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's a carbon copy of NDSU.
I would like to see if NDSU could compete in the middle of the Big Ten
now. They could.
They're not going to beat Ohio State.
No.
They're probably, in most years, not going to be able to hang with Wisconsin.
This year they could.
But years like this, they could. But you can't tell me that they aren't on par with Northwestern on most years, Minnesota. We already know about Minnesota Northwestern.
They can beat. They could or couldn't beat.
Could beat Northwestern.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. Then they could beat 85% of the Big Ten, which is leaving like the Iowa.
Have you seen Nebraska play lately? They're not anything to write home about.
No, but
already beaten Iowa.
No, the only team they couldn't beat would be Ohio State. They could beat everybody else in the Big Ten. I mean,
you can't realistically.
They could beat Penn State this year.
Can't realistically watch that Oregon State game and not tell me that the Bison would have been.
And remember, there's still two more teams on the docket because there's Arizona and Colorado, and they could beat both those schools.
Right.
Both of them are pretty mediocre in the Pac-12.
Unquestionably, games that they could win. But that's, to me, where this is headed in the next few years, is a more serious discussion. It's not going to be in 2 years. It's not going to be in 4 years. This is a 10-year thing. By 2030, when we're doing the 10th season of this show, or whatever the heck we're in, I think, realistically, we could be talking about a situation where the new FCS basically becomes what is FBS, and the Power Five become whatever the Power Five is going to be.
Do you feel like that maybe the FCS might just say, like we did with St. Thomas and D3, just you're
oh, that's a total different factor.
Like, you're getting too good that we just need to get you out of here? Because, I think the next 10 years, they could win 8 more national championships, and they might just say, you're becoming too powerful for us. We need to kick you up and get you up to the FBS because you're too dominant. FCS was dominant for 3 years, and then they fell off. They weren't that good after that.
Realistically, no, because the circumstances are different. This isn't like when Mount Union went, they didn't just jump from D3 to D1, even though they won a whole Whitewater. This isn't that kind of scenario. This is a different. This isn't like, you know, Whitewater, Wisconsin isn't Metro Minneapolis, and that's basically what you're looking at with. That's why the situation with St. Thomas is so unique, because they basically have an unlimited footprint in the area that only the Gophers can recruit. And let's face it, we're not exactly talking the same guys going to the U as we are to St. Thomas.
I mean, like, the Bison are kind of recruiting like the Nebraska did back in the 90s. They're getting all the farm kids, and they're getting their athletes from Orlando.
Well,
like, that's really what they're doing.
That's why I found it interesting that they would support St. Thomas going into the league. It's going to be a long road for St. Thomas. There's no question about it. But I think you're basically now also feeling that in India, and as a fan,
I don't want to go anywhere.
The Valley has become the NCC of old. It's there. It's UND, NDSU.
Yep.
It's USD, SDSU.
Yep.
The Aggie Doggies are going to the Pioneer.
Yep.
You know, you got teams like Morningside that are long since gone. St. Cloud's never going to be that. But you've got basically half the NCC now playing Division I football.
But do you feel like the Bison are getting too good?
No.
No? You don't think they're getting way too good for everybody else?
No.
Because, I mean, the last stretch of the last 10 years have been where they've just kicked the crap out of everybody the last decade.
But they haven't won every time. And
that's true.
It's proof that
but they've won 34 straight games.
If they have a down year, though,
it's a two-loss season.
Right, and it's still going to be good enough to come back all the way through. JMU is certainly elevated to close to that level.
I think they're second. I mean, it's like the Bison are here, and for people, podcast, I'm pointing that the Bison are up here, and JMU is down here. I mean, are they a strong second? Sure.
They are the only second.
But a strong second is, you know, let's see, six national titles behind. I mean,
I can't sit here and realistically tell you a fourth team that I would say is a serious contender for a national title.
Maybe the Pencil and Big Sky, but I mean, it's just like whichever one's the best at that time.
Eastern Washington was good for so many years, then look what happened. They fell off the map.
I mean, so many years. I've looked back at those brackets and I'm thinking they were one game away from playing us multiple times.
Right.
I mean, it could have been Bison Eagles, what, four times maybe? But they couldn't beat Sam Houston. Or they couldn't beat Montana. Or they couldn't beat somebody like that.
Or Towson got through.
Illinois State got them one year. Right. It was just like they were such a regular season offense. They were like the Chargers back then that just beat everybody back in the 2005 when they had Tomlinson and those guys. They're just a potent offense. They couldn't do anything in the playoffs, and that's what always got them. They just couldn't play defense when it mattered.
Well, I didn't expect us to go that long on that topic.
Can we keep going?
We could do hours of shows on that. Just want to mention
the FCS is our home. Like, we know all about it.
But we do have to mention real quick before we go. Yeah. Bison basketball off to a start. The women, I gotta say,
they
beat Northern Iowa, and it's always good to beat Northern Iowa in anything.
Yeah, that's true.
But they look better. They look more athletic. Ryan Cobbins, Heaven Hamling. If you haven't seen her play, she's really good. Take a watch if you're in quarantine or whatever. They're worth the watch.
Under Wall, Seth, they would not have won that game.
Yeah, Jory Collins, I'm very impressed.
Jory's done a great job.
Bison men. They're
0-3, but I mean, you know what? They played three teams that are really good, so I'm not going to lose sleep over that. I mean, Nevada and Nebraska. Yeah.
And they've gotten Creighton. And they've got Kansas this weekend. It'll be on ESPN+. Then they've got South Dakota State on the 10th.
Oh, God.
That's going to be an interesting one. Can we do real quick? We are so over time, but we need to talk about one other set of things real quick. And that's talking about the NBA. I can't get the theme music up because, of course, my graphics have gone to hell here. But let's talk, Grant, about just real quick.
Okay.
Here it is. It's finally come back. Well, it's thinking about it anyway. LeBron, 2-year extension.
Might be last
Anthony one. Davis,
Might
4-year extension. There we go.
Because the NBA is thinking about their draft rules again, that they might let high school players get back in the draft. That 2-year extension, Bronny James comes into the league in 2023.
His son.
He might get in 2023 if they branch the rules to the high school players. I think for LeBron's sake, they would let that in just for a 1-year trial, see if it would work. And if they do that, because we want to see Bronny James play in the NBA. We all do. I know you don't know much about Bronny James, but he's one of the best players in the country.
I don't care.
It'd be really cool. And Anthony Davis signed his 4-year max extension. Like, it's like, what, 4 years? Can't figure that. It's over $100 million in contract money. I know that much. Right?
5-year deal with the Lakers is what it is.
Is there money tied into that?
There would be. I assume he's getting paid. $190 million.
$190. Okay, that was a figure there. Okay.
Yeah, $190 million.
Think about the Bison. Is there anybody who can realistically stop the Lakers in the West? If the Warriors were healthy, I'd say the Warriors. I don't think there's a second. Maybe the Clippers, maybe the Nuggets, but there isn't a clear second place.
Real quick then, Lakers prohibitive favorite to win the title this year?
Yep. The Bucks will fall off in the playoffs.
Russell Westbrook traded from the Rockets to the Wizards.
For the Wizards, great
to
deal.
To get John Wall.
Wizards, great deal.
Okay.
Great deal.
John Wall hasn't played a meaningful NBA game in, 2 years?
Yep, and this is what's going to keep Harden in Houston. I don't see it. I know they threw a Washington in the first-round pick. That's making the deal work. But it's like, Houston with the Washington with Westbrook, they're going to be watchable now. Like, with John Wall and Bradley Beal, they were good, but they weren't really, they were in the playoffs, and they weren't really they're going to win a playoff series. They can win a playoff series now with Westbrook and Beal.
Good, realistically speaking.
Harden's on his way out of town. I mean, he might be there for a year, and then they're going to trade him. That's the way I see it.
Well, We covered a lot. We're way over time. Thanks for hanging with us a few extra minutes there. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for links to all of our previous shows. Grant, how do we
find
you?
Follow me on Snapchat @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok @GrantLegend and follow us. And it's going to be @legend_loudmouth_pod. legend_loudmouth_pod. You need to like, subscribe to the show. We don't care if Demas, please, and subscribe to the YouTube channel.
We are heading down the home stretch here of the week. We will
Until Christmas.
Well, we will be back Monday. Break down the NFL and college weekends for you. See what's going on there as the home stretch of the season is up. Playoffs are going to take into shape and some pretty important college matchups that are down the road, too. If the Rona doesn't get us all, Ohio State, Michigan, we've got to look forward a couple weeks yet to Notre Dame, Clemson, assuming they stay on track. We'll tell you all about it on Monday on The Legend and the Loudmouth. Have a good weekend, everybody.